There was a time pag yung gumalaw na sinasabi sabotage yan. Anyway, so maraming salamat Attorney Marlon sa mga kasamahan ko sa panel who I really admit is more distinguished than I am sa ating mga bisita, sa mga CSOs, NGOs, and most especially, I would like to thank the organizers, the International Peace Observers Network. Kanina ang sabi natin, IPON. Pero mas maganda yata sa Pilipino, IPON, ano? Kasi they're savings, no? They're saving for something, IPON. Now I'd like to thank IPON for allowing us to participate in this rather very interesting forum. Now, interesting in a sense that over the years, red baiting has been an issue that we either confirm or deny. Now, depending on which side of the fence we are. But allow me to give a quick recall. No? I really wanted to say my piece earlier, but I fear that I would be messing up my delivery. I just wanted to go to some significant background. No? I had an experience before when I was with the OPAP. I was asked to mediate the warring factions of the Cordillera People's Liberation Army. So at some point, they wanted to go back to the long history of their quarrel between their tribes, etc. So I was telling them, why don't we go back to our most recent history? About 10 years ago. No, they said no. For us to better appreciate what's on hand, it's better for us to go back to history. So I think that justifies Antoine's desire for a historical realization or enlightenment of what's happening with us. As well as the fact that given that 15 minutes I was given by Attorney Marlon, this will extend my delivery. Now, for red baiting to have festered in our country to this day is indeed a sad fact, but nonetheless understandable. If the U.S. had to contend with its embarrassing red scares in the aftermath of the First World War, and during the Cold War era, what more for the Philippines as it had to contend with the so-called threats of communism, socialism, anarchy, coming not from some external force, not from some unfriendly neighboring country, but from rebel forces fighting government within our state, in our hinterlands, and in our urban areas. For more than 40 years, the threat of communism had always been very real for government. Not some imagined ideology advanced by rebels fighting our expeditionary forces in some third world country hundreds of miles away. Insofar as the Philippines is concerned, the so-called Reds are among us, and their political influence and armed strength are not to be disregarded. The dark years of the Marcos dictatorship saw the height of the anti-Red crusade. The Anti-Subversion Act of 1957, which was mentioned already, or Republic Act No. 1700, which was supposed to address the problems brought about by the then Communist Party of the Philippines and its armed ally, the Hukbalahaps. No, I will not go into the history of Hukbalahaps. Underwent a number of enhancements by way of several presidential decrees courtesy of Marcos, to the extent that it restricted even the constitutional right to form associations among the many other rights. Now then, President Corazon Aquino, upon assuming power, repealed all these Marcosian decrees, but still she remained wary of the Communist Party with its new armed component, the New People's Army, as a continuing threat to the stability and survival of the government, particularly to her administration. So, stripped of the so-called icing, RA 1700 was once again brought back into the menu. But this time, President Aquino updated the then 30-year-old law by defining the NPA as the new armed component of the CPP, as well as including in the law's coverage all organizations that will constitute their successors. Incidentally, it was during this period that the NPA had the highest number of armed members in all the years of struggle against the Philippine government. Now, how the government sees the armed communists somehow changed when the peace process was institutionalized as a government policy in 1993 during the time of President Ramos. While it's true that President Aquino then initiated the peace talks with the communists, in fact, she inked a SIPAT or a peace agreement in 1986 with the breakaway Cordillera People's Liberation Army. It was only during President Ramos' time that a comprehensive peace process policy was instituted, courtesy of the National Unification Commission, or the NUC, which was then chaired by Professor Heidi Yorak. The year before that, in 1992, in preparation for this new peace policy, President Ramos worked with Congress for the passage of Republic Act 7636, the law which would eventually repeal RA 1700, as well as other issuances that superseded it. Now, this NUC-crafted peace policy was magnanimous in a sense that it welcomed a number of amnesty proclamations that would further encourage armed rebels to return to the folds of the law. Altogether, it encouraged, through elections, the entry of former rebels and street parliamentarians into the halls of Congress, thereby allowing revolutionary fire and brimstone to be tested in the arena of fierce yet peaceful discussion and debate. As it is, therefore, there should be no reason for continued red baiting in light of the ongoing peace process, as well as the fact that all laws, particularly the Anti-Subversion Act, that suppress the creation of an environment for red baiting are a thing of the past. In fact, a proposal by the executive to revive the Anti-Subversion Act in 2007 was strongly opposed, much to the frustration of our friends in the military sector, which wanted to address the growing concerns in the alleged direct participation of armed groups in politics, particularly in the electoral process. Now, complementing this was the repeal in 2009 of the highly controversial EO number 493 series of 2006, which paved the way for the creation of the Interagency Legal Assistance Group, or the IALAG, to address specific offenses against national security concerns such as rebellion, sedition, and other related actions. Not a few criticized the IALAG. As an excuse to formalize the so-called orders of battle, and yes, red baiting. But let's all be realistic. Despite these affirmative actions, individuals and organizations continue to denounce a perceived red baiting going on, supposedly a continuing policy of the security sector. Such reproofs are valid, but let's ask ourselves some questions. Now, if I walk the streets denouncing the Philippine government for its shortcomings and the incompetence of its administrators, including the president, if I attend forums and discussions and strongly advocate a cause leading to some social and political transformation, how should I be treated? With tolerance, of course. To express what is in my mind and in my heart is my right. In the context of international human rights conventions, the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights says, in Article 19 and 21, that everyone has the right to hold an opinion without interference or peaceably assemble where that opinion may be expressed. Specifically, it states that, and I quote, everyone has the right to freedom of expression. This right shall include freedom to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas of all kinds, regardless of frontiers, either orally, in writing, or in print. Baka kasama dito yung planking, in the form of art, or any other media of his choice. No? But the end of quote. But the convention is also clear that the exercise of these rights come with responsibilities and duties in conformity with the law and as allowed under a democracy. That these rights may be restricted as may be necessary to respect the rights or reputations and freedoms of others and to protect national security, public order, public health, or morals. Indeed, I may be free to say what I want, but if I call for the violent overthrow of government and instigate the taking of arms by my fellow citizens, I believe lawyers have something that covers it that makes me accountable for my actions and even qualifies me for some jail time. After all, in harmony with all domestic laws, with our domestic laws, Article 20 of the Convention says that any propaganda for war or any advocacy of national, racial, or religious hatred that constitutes incitement to discrimination, hostility, or violence shall be prohibited by law. On the other hand, should I be worried if I were a member of the Communist Party of the Philippines? Ideally, with RA 7636, I should not. Tama 'yung sinasabi natin, no? Kini-question natin, member ka ba? Masama ka na, no? But if the CPP keeps giving its blessings to the NPA, to the NPA's raids and ambuscades, and gloats triumphantly if these activities succeed, and this has happened during the actual negotiations, then I should be bothered by how government sees the CPP in relation to the NPA, because that situates me in quite precariously in the entire scheme of things. It's good we have the peace process, and we hope it does remain on track, because under its rim, such perceived misbehavior are simply considered lapses in confidence building or a mere temporary setback in the work for peace. In short, it is nothing but it is a forgivable political offense. Now, if I were a trade union member or leader, the ICCPR under Article 22 respects my right to form and join trade unions to protect my interests, even as it cites the ILO Convention of 1948 that guarantees my freedom of association and the protection of my right to organize. Then again, if I make it my business to inspire work stoppages all the time among my fellow union members and picket the front yard of the factories where we work, then I can be sure someone in authority will question my motives. Indeed, I may have gotten my message across to the authorities concerned, but the means I employed have certain consequences I had to contend with. In a larger sense, however, I strongly believe that we have come a long way in the manner that red baiting has been seen as a manner of great, concern. We have an environment that allows relative freedom for all its worth under a democracy which was definitely lacking in the Marcos years. Freedom that allows you to put yourself with your cause, your advocacy, and all properly situated in that environment. What I wish to point out is that the issue here is not whether or not you're a communist, a CSO or NGO, or a human rights defender. The main concern of police and military authorities, and of government for that matter, is what you actually do with your right and your privileges in that capacity that impacts the peace, the order, the national security that these institutions of authority are constitutionally mandated to preserve and to protect. However, I'd like to point out that the message is not for the ears of the NGO or the CSO worker alone who thinks of himself at the receiving end of this threat to his rights and freedom. This message is also for the security sector, in order for them to revisit the manner by which they gather intelligence information and put people in a box, literally and figuratively. This form of name-calling has its grievous consequences. It has been mentioned, it has resulted to torture, indiscriminate picking up, EJKs, EDs, arbitrary detention, and social ostracization. This form of name-calling, as I said, an extreme caution must be made in doing so. We owe this much, government owes this much to its constituents, the people we have sworn to protect. Now, if I may borrow a long-held analogy, I don't know who the senator was who said this. We have come a long way from branding one who quacks like a duck a duck. We are in a period now that allows that duck to quack, and deserving, as it is his right, to be heard why it is quacking in the first place. I admit that saying all this is far easier than addressing the realities on the ground, especially for the CSOs and NGOs, the human rights defenders who pursue their advocacy and their work in an environment not isolated from a raging internal armed conflict. Which brings this whole peroration to that desire that lingers in the hearts of everyone, and that is, if only we had peace, just and lasting peace, then this matter of red baiting with all its attendant complications and difficulties would have a better chance of being laid to rest. And I, as everyone else, hope it happens in this administration. Maraming salamat po.